Thank you. Thank you for your attention. Hello, everyone. So today I'm going to illustrate the combination between focused ultrasound and MR elastography for a specific application, which is namely the monitoring of HIFU ablations. Just let me start with a few words about the background and the context of this study. So as Simon Châtelain explained yesterday, MRE is being developed for two different topics at Strasbourg. You've seen a few examples of the biomechanical applications presented by Simon. Actually, originally, our first MRE activities were driven by biomechanics. But then I got increasingly involved with interventional radiologists, and this led to this topic a few years ago, interventional MRE. With one objective, among others, but the main objective was, can we monitor thermal ablations in real time? And that's what I'm going to talk about today, specifically in the case of HIFU therapy. So first, why do you want to monitor thermal ablations? Well, the idea is that you don't want to damage your tissue. You want to control your therapy. You want to ensure that you're, for example, in case of tumor, you've performed the ablation of the whole tumor volume and that you haven't been damaging some surrounding healthy tissue. So that's why you want to monitor the thermal therapy. If you're talking about monitoring by MRI, clinicians particularly appreciate MR thermometry. So I won't be discussing that too much today, but there are important limitations in MR thermal, in temperature and thermal dose. And the idea was, can we get something else, something that's more related to directly to structural damage, while at the same time keeping this information on temperature? And that's how interventional MRE developed. The idea was to provide radiologists with both elasticity and temperature in real time during the procedure. So in interventional MRE, what we've been doing so far and originally was to monitor mostly percutaneous ablations, mostly laser and cryoablation. So this involves some very specific developments, such as as specific exciters using the needles that are in any way inserted inside the body during the intervention. So that's an example in liver during a laser ablation, and we've already shown that elasticity seems to be somehow promising because, well, as we could expect, the elasticity remains stable, which indicates that you've done some permanent damage, as opposed, obviously, to temperature that goes back after the ablation is over. Then, also, we are always trying to accelerate things. In interventional MRE, the idea is that we want to propose some very reliable, specific biomarkers, but in the fastest possible way. So we've had the idea of trying to circumvent the reconstruction of the image, working directly on the raw MR data in the CAS space. Actually, that's what you're looking at here, a spot that's moving is directly the tissue that stiffens directly in the CAS space during an ablation. And then the third kind of activities are related to emerging activity in HIFU in our laboratory, and precisely one of the main challenges is how do we monitor the HIFU therapy, and that's what I'm going to present today. So very quickly about HIFU. So HIFU relies on the absorption of the acoustic energy. This is highly localized, and this allows to generate very localized thermal lesions controlled of a few millimeters to a few centimeters cubic. HIFU is already used clinically, mostly for uterine fibroids, for prostate cancer, but also in a few clinical studies for neurological and oncological applications. HIFU is very promising because it's non-invasive. It's, as opposed to radiotherapy, it's non-ionizing, so you can repeat without those limitation. However, HIFU requires to be guided by some imaging modality. And MRI is particularly appreciated. It allows very good, very accurate preoperative planning, and also thanks to the feature of monitoring in real time, mostly through thermometry. So the objective here is, can we use also MR elastography, our interventional MRE protocol, to monitor HIFU therapy in real time? So how did we do that? About the experimental setup, so the main equipment is provided by the manufacturer by image-guided therapy. It's fully MR compatible. So the HIFU transducer is in contact with the skin, close to the zone that has to be treated. There is a coupling balloon. It's filled with water. That's for the acoustic coupling. You're talking about ultrasound. This is held by a homemade 5 degree of freedom positioning structure. And one of the interesting features is that we are using a multi-element ultrasound transducer. In our case, it's 256 piezoelectric elements. And you can control them in phase and amplitude. And this allows to steer your focus electronically without needing to move mechanically your transducer. You can change your focus by just adjusting the phase shift of your elements. And that's, you would say, an interesting feature. So the main originality of this method is that we use the focused ultrasound transducer both to perform HIFU therapy, obviously, but also to generate shear waves at the same time simultaneously. So how do we do that? Basically, the idea is to modulate the HIFU signal. Instead of shooting continuous wave, we modulate it by a low frequency signal. Here, in that case, it's 50 hertz. So this means that every 20 milliseconds, you will push your tissue thanks to the acoustic radiation force, and therefore you will generate a wave here with a fundamental frequency of 50 hertz. At the same time, we're shooting at high power. This burns the tissue, so at the same time we are performing the HIFU therapy. So in order to try this protocol, we did different phases. So one phase of a little more than 2 minutes where we perform this HIFU ablation at the same time we're performing the elastography. Then we just let it relax and we measure at the same time single isolated measurements in order to avoid any heating after that. Regarding the sequence and the reconstruction, is very similar to what we've doing with percutaneous ablations. We've done the experiment on a Siemens 1.5 IRA system. We're using a spoiled interactive for interventional positioning GRE sequence with fractional encoding. And for the reconstruction, we're using the sliding window, using LFE and simultaneous reconstruction of elastography and temperature using PRF. So this allows us to have an elastogram every few seconds depending on the mechanical excitation frequency. So about the results, so first we try obviously on gelatin phantoms, but this is one of the rare cases where phantom was very challenging, more than in vitro, and more than tissue. And the reason for that, took me some time, I'm quite slow, it took me some time to understand. I had waves only for a few seconds, and then the waves disappeared, and I did not understand, was it the MRI, well, the gradients disappeared, I don't know. Actually, the solution is very simple, but the gelatin was melting, and therefore I was shooting in a liquid, and shear waves were not propagating into the solid phase. I did not have that phenomenon in vitro on tissue, so that took me some time. But then we moved on to in vivo, and here is the in vivo setup. You can see the positioning structure here in a swine. So we're shooting here in a thigh muscle. You can see also the water field coupling balloon and the curvature of the HIFU transducer. And we're shooting here. And the results I'm going to show are on this plane here, so orthogonal to the direction of the push. We're shooting here to illustrate these results at 50 hertz with an encoding of 90 hertz for the MSG. So the results, you can see the thermometry and the waves here. So it's heating, then the waves disappear. That's the phase when we relax. And this audience is experimented enough to see that, but that here already on the shear waves, shear wavelength, you can qualitatively appreciate that it increases. And that's what we see when we plot and we average around the focal region. So temperature increases and then decreases after ablation, and the shear modulus increases and remains steady even after ablation is over. So that confirms same trend as for percutaneous laser ablations. So that confirms that elasticity somehow is related to permanent damage, which is very interesting. So here we proposed a method that uses the HIFU transducer for both generating shear waves and performing the HIFU therapy. We demonstrated this in vivo on muscle tissue. So obviously we're trying to extend that to other organs like liver and kidney, but we have the same issues as people have in the HIFU community, which is now the rib cage and other acoustic obstacles and the managing of motion. This confirms what already has been suggested in the literature for thermal ablation, that elasticity might be an interesting biomarker for assessing this structural damage. So what we are doing now is to compare these results with the thermal dose that can be measured as well with a thermometry. And obviously what we want to do is to compare to a ground truth that would be histology damage found by histological analysis. And also one thing that's very important to continue working on is the ultrasound dosimetry. Here in this study, we didn't really care because we wanted to burn anyway. But if you just want to generate shear waves without damaging your tissue, that's another story. That's what we're working on, because you have to adapt the whole sequence I've shown, and it's not really straightforward. So that's it. Thank you for your attention, and ready to answer the questions.
A very simple and naive question is, why do you use acoustic radiation force to create your shear waves, since you can't decouple heating and creation of your shear waves?
Actually, I can, so maybe that's not the best example I've done, but we can also have some isolated points of elasticity. Thing is, we cannot do that continuously because we're heating. If I do just one shoot of shear waves during, let's say, just three phase cycles, a few seconds, this will limit a lot the heating. About the question of why do we use the HIFU, it's a little bit in continuation with the percutaneous project, where first I've been working historically with electromechanical drivers, with pneumatic drivers, and when I went to interventional radiologists with that, they say, are you kidding me? There's no way you're going to add this device to my already very reduced pace. So try to make some exciter around, that must not exceed 1 centimeter square, and no cables, please. So that's how we developed that. And then we had to do that with a needle. Then the same for HIFU. You want to limit really the surrounding additional material. I agree that with HIFU it will be maybe less critical than with needles, but it's also something that I find quite technically elegant to generate the waves with the same device as we're hitting. Although I agree that in this particular case it would have probably worked also with a pneumatic driver.